Today we're going to talk about follow the leader. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. The Bible said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, Ephesians 5 is a wonderful passage in the Scriptures on the subject of the marriage relationship. We have looked at Ephesians 5 in all 3 weeks thus far in this series. We'll not be in it every week, but we will refer to it often. It has much to say regarding the relationship between the husband and the wife. And Paul, in week one, we learned, was using this analogy in relation to Christ and the church and was challenging us and our marriages to be like Christ and to show the love of Christ as he did to his bride, the local New Testament church. And as we come to this subject of wives submitting to their husbands and really fulfilling their responsibility to follow the spiritual leadership of their husband. And don't worry, ladies, don't get too nervous. I've already got next week's lesson ready, and it's not right at you. All right, we're gonna go back and forth a little bit. It just means you got to be here next week and bring your husband as well. But we're going to talk today about following the leader in the marriage relationship. And the greatest need of a husband is to be followed, to be respected as a man, and believed in as a leader. And we're going to talk about the need for fellowship, submission in the context and arena of marriage, and the great need that that meets in the heart of your husband. So let's dive in and look first of all at the reluctance to submission. The reluctance to submit. Why is it that some wives, and certainly none in this room, but why is it that some wives struggle to follow their husbands? What leads to that reluctance? What are the hurdles that are present there in this area? And the area of submission is a spiritual function. It requires the assistance of the Holy Spirit of God, to which every wife in here probably says, amen and amen. It requires a spiritual dynamic to follow your husband in a scriptural way. But even knowing this does not erase some of the fears or some of the hindrances in some of the hearts of many wives that they have towards submitting to their husband. There's kind of a natural aversion to this concept. If we see something that says you have to do this, our flesh doesn't want to do it. If we see something that says you can't do this, all of a sudden we really want to do that. It's just kind of the way we are in our nature. And so it is in marriage when the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. Many women read that and say, I don't want to. And they may not necessarily have a great reason for it, but just because they're being told to do it, their nature says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to submit to my husband or follow him in this way. But there are several reasons for this, and I want to cover these that might be providing some reluctance. First of all, letter A, because wives feel responsible for their husband. Now, go along with me here and just think for a little bit. Wives, when you think about submitting to your husband and following his spiritual leadership, I want you to think about this question for a moment, just internally this morning. You don't necessarily have to give me a verbal response. I kind of prefer that you don't, to be honest with you, because I don't know how much you're going to like me after this lesson, but I'm still going to smile and be your friend. So think about this question. Do you feel responsible to your husband or for your husband? Just think about that for a minute. In your marriage relationship, do you feel responsible to your husband or for your husband? When a husband is experiencing a season of success, many wives rejoice. But when a husband goes through a season of failure or shortcoming, often a wife can feel embarrassed and discouraged. And when this happens, there's a tendency in the heart to say, well, then I've got to control this situation. And I've got to take the bull by the horns and I've got to lead. Because if I lead, then we won't have this sort of outcome. And there can be a frustration, there can be an angst, kind of in the spirit of a wife in this situation. Again, this doesn't apply to any woman in this room, I know that. But she can get into seasons of expressing anger. She can go into nagging. She can get very critical. She can even attempt at some revenge to just kind of correct the situation. because the situation wasn't right or wasn't what she thought it should be. And because she feels this responsibility, now she's got to make it right or set it in order. And she can become very frustrated with her husband, especially if her husband is a passive leader. And so if she's to follow him and she is more of the aggressor, if you will, and he is the leader that God has given this home, but he is very passive in his personality, then if she's not careful, it's easier for her to just take over than it is to follow, because to follow a passive leader for a lady with that kind of a DNA is very, very difficult. It's very counter nature. She just wants to go and tell him, but he's supposed to be leading, and his pacificity is really giving her a struggle in fulfilling this role that she has. And at times, there's a reluctance to submit to the husband because there's a feeling of responsibility. Brother Rule, if I don't take responsibility for him, I don't know who will. I don't know how he'd get it all done. I think he really needs me and needs me to take that role. And sometimes that's a reluctance to submit because there's this feeling of I've got to kind of be in control of him or he just wouldn't make it through life. We're going to have a good time today. Letter B. Sometimes because wives focus on their husband's human personality instead of his divine position. I think this is going to help. Because sometimes there's more of a focus on his human personality than there is on his divine position. Now, God has three institutions that he created. Can somebody tell me what they are? Marriage, the church, government, right? And in all three of those institutions that God created, the home, the church, and the government, and all of these institutions created by God, over all of them, he places a human leader. So these are divine institutions with a human leader. The pastor is the leader of the church. The president, in our context, in our government, is the leader of the government. And who is the leader supposed to be in the home according to God? Husband. Yeah, like three husbands said husband. Everybody else said, oh, I'm not so sure. The pastor is in charge of the church, and the president is in charge of the country, and the husband is the one in control of his home. Man, praise God. We're going to have a good time. And ladies, you're all going to have your husbands here next week. But anyway, and so this is God's plan. God has these institutions. He has a human leader in place. And God desires for these institutions to have harmony. This is why he has a leader in place, to bring that unity and to bring that harmony in place. Now, God wants unity, not merely union. You could take a dog and a cat, tie their tails together, and throw them over the clothesline. You'd have union, but you would not have unity. But that mental picture is what some marriages look like. They're tied together through legal papers and matrimonial knots, but they've got union, but no unity. And sometimes their relationship takes on this persona of this cat and dog fight, if you will, because there's certainly not unity, but there is union. And God says you're not going to have unity in your relationship until you recognize there's a leader in the relationship there appointed by God. Now, God knows the necessity of having a leader for this unity, and so he puts a leader in place. And God knows there are two things to require of this that are required. First of all, the integrity of the leader's reputation. So in order for the leader to be able to lead, they have to have integrity. By the way, husbands, it's more difficult for a wife to receive this biblical instruction when the husband has not been leading with integrity. And sometimes when we hear lessons like this, although it is fundamentally according to the Word of God, the husband's response to the wife should be more of an apology. Sweetheart, I know that I am to lead our home, and I know you are to submit and follow, but I haven't really been leading according to the biblical pattern, and I just want you to know that I'm sorry, and I'm going to work on that, because I know as you want to be a submissive, obedient wife, I want to make that very easy for you. And I don't want to make that something that is a constant moral conflict for you as you're trying to do the right thing and I'm not leading in the right way. And so God puts a leader in place for unity. And he is to have a reputation of integrity and he's responsible for that. But then the follower is responsible for the purity of the evaluation of that leader. So the leader is responsible for his own integrity. I've got to lead according to biblical principles. But the follower is responsible for their evaluation of the leader. That's on the follower. And Satan knows this, and so in comes Satan. What does Satan do? Satan tries to tempt the leader to take away his integrity, and then Satan tries to tempt the follower to skew their evaluation of the leader. You want me to follow this person, my husband, he doesn't even know where to put his dirty socks. You want me to follow this man who's my husband, I've seen him kick the dog and yell at the kids. I know what he's really like. I live with him and I see him 24/7 and Satan's on your shoulder, ma'am, and he's whispering into your ear, how can you submit to that guy? Just look at him. And Satan goes after the husband and his integrity. And Satan goes after the wife and her evaluation of her husband. He does this with incredible success rate. And he does it to shift the focus from the divine position to the human personality. Now, we have stated more times than I can count in this class, marriage is this. An eternal commitment between an imperfect man and an imperfect woman forever. The very sum total of that means you're not going to have a perfect relationship. The His Design class does not boast itself of having perfect husbands because we don't. There's not a one of us in this room. In fact, that's why we come here to try to learn and to get better at what we do. But there is a position that we have been given by God. We didn't ask for it, and sometimes we wish we didn't have it. But it's our responsibility, and we are to lead our home. Amen. Wives, the Word of God commands you to submit, to follow the spiritual leadership of your wife. And I just want to challenge your thinking this morning that sometimes when that is a real challenge for you, there may be more focus on his human personality than there is on his divine position. God has given him a position of leadership. You say, Brother Roll, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Someday, when your family stands before God at judgment, it will be your husband's responsibility to give an account for the home. That's his job. He's in authority. He's the leader. He's responsible. He's at least responsible for 51% of the whole thing because it's going to be his job to give an account. And a wise, godly, biblical-knowing wife recognizes he has a position. I need to know that and follow him and help him in it. And sometimes as we gain a more casual view of scriptural things, we can skew the way we look at it and it can hurt us in our ability to follow. Letter C, it might be because of a lack of faith in God. Many wives lack faith in God to work in the heart of their mate and through him to her and to the children. And so there's kind of a code that evolves and it's like, well, if I don't make it happen, then nobody will. I have to do my part. And a major reason for this void of faith is a wife's view of God. She has come to see him as remote and distant and uncaring and maybe not working in their home. And even some wives have come to the point where they view God as cruel. How could God put me in a relationship like this? How could God allow me to go through the neglect and the mistreatment that I have suffered, even at the hands of my own husband? How could this happen? And in any case, Satan likes to take those circumstances and use them to really drive a wedge between what it is that God is trying to do in the home and what is needed is a return back to understanding who indeed God is, because God is a loving God and God is a sovereign God and God knows what it is He's doing. And as He put your home together and as He placed a leader in the home, God did that with all wisdom and knowledge and He indeed is in control. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposes disposing thereof is of the Lord. God is on the throne, and God is in control, and God is in charge. Consider this in Daniel 4:17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Did you catch that? God sets up over it, positions of authority, the basest of men. Now, why would God take base men, low men, humble men, and put them in positions of authority? And while we'll never know all of God's ways and thoughts and power and wisdom, what we do know is that everything that God is working in works together for good. And God often will put someone in leadership that when there is success in that situation, it is evident it is not because of the leader, it is because of God. So I don't know what the internal workings of your home looks like, but here's what the Bible teaches. The husband is to lead. The wife is to submit and follow. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, Brother Rule, I'm hearing you, I'm reading the verses, but I'm telling you right now, if I followed my husband and didn't lead, we wouldn't go anywhere. Nothing would happen. I'm telling you, it would just be misery. Then here's what's going to happen. God's going to have to work through your husband. And God's going to have to lead. And when your husband leads with God's help, it will be clearly known this is not of him, it is of God. And by the way, that's of all of us in this room. Successfully leading a home is not something we can handle. It is something we have to have God's help for. And the Lord is teaching, listen, I put the basis of men in positions of authority. It's not because of them. It's because of who I am. And when they lead according to my principles, I get the honor and glory for that. And when the wives submit to them, I get the honor and glory for that. And when the home is working in harmony and in unity, I get the honor and glory for that. And so we want to get our faith back in God. And then letter D, sometimes it is because of unfulfilled expectations. When a wife expects certain things of her husband and he fails to deliver, she can become very discouraged. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Boy, it brings life when that comes to flourishing. But when it's not there, it brings great discouragement to the wife. And unfulfilled expectations can lead to this reluctance to follow and submit to the husband. A wife can become very frustrated when the expectations that she brings to marriage are constantly unmet, and so she feels like she's got to take control to get it back to where it needs to be. Now listen, we all bring expectations into marriage, and the very fact that we do means one thing. We're going to have some unmet expectations because none of us are perfect. We're all going to make some mistakes, but this can lead to a reluctance to follow and to submit. It's like the one disenchanted wife who lamented, I married an ideal. I got an ordeal. And now I want a new deal. and sometimes maybe that's where it's at. So there's some reluctance to follow and submit like we should. But then notice, secondly, this morning, the route to submission. How can a wife biblically follow her husband? And let me give you some thoughts this morning. First of all, letter A, respect him as a man. Sometimes it's easier for a wife to follow someone who she doesn't know very well. But isn't it interesting in our passage this morning, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. This is a very personal word of instruction. It brings it home right where you live. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, a man's worth and value is found first in his relationship with God. God's ministry is establishing that value and that encouragement in the heart of the husband. But can I tell you that God has a secondary ministry? And that secondary ministry is through the wife. I don't know that there, in fact, I know this. Outside of God, there is no other person who can establish the value and confidence in the heart of a man like his wife, when there is that respect that is being shown to him. As she follows him and submits to him and believes in him, it is underscoring his value that God has established in his heart and begins to be convinced that he can lead. Well, Brother Rome, my husband just won't lead. Go ask him. Sweetheart, what would you like us to do? Well, he won't say anything. Give him time. Honey, what would you like us to do? Sweetheart, we're all wondering what we should do. What would you like us to do? Sweetheart, the kids are falling asleep. What would you like? You know, I mean, just however long it takes. I don't know. But just follow and just be patient and respect him as a man. It's going to underscore the value that God has placed on his life. And what fights this is when we fall into a self-sufficiency mode. Self-sufficiency always destroys the level of dependence that God intends. Proverbs 30, verse 8, watch it. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed with food convenient for me. Verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. When would I deny the Lord? When I'm full. When I'm full and have no need, why do I need God? And in marriage, when I am full of myself, why do I need my spouse? Self-sufficiency is one of the greatest culprits to the lack of dependence that God intends in the marriage relationship. And you want to be careful that you are not being too self-sufficient. Sometimes in our culture, it's, well, I have a full-time job and I make as much or more than he. And if you're not careful, your employer holds more value in your life than your spouse. You've got to guard this self-sufficiency because it can greatly hinder your dependence. Peter praises the wives who are winning their husbands by the way that they're living. And it's not to say that there isn't a place for a woman to be industrious and things of this nature, but it is to be in the context of a submissive relationship to her husband and in agreement with him. It is not to be so that we can amass more. It is so that we can be functioning as God would have us to be in our marital relationship. God has given the husband the responsibility to lead and to provide and to protect. And when the husband is fulfilling that responsibility, it is helping the structure of the home be as God intended it to be. And you want to be very careful if there's anything in your life that is threatening that a structure that God intended. You say, Brother Rule, what you're teaching is not very popular in 2016. Neither are happy marriages. God's way still works. It always has and it always will. But there's got to be an understanding of the Scriptures. The husband is to lead. The wife is to submit and to follow. And there's not to be an over self-sufficiency of, well, if he dropped dead tomorrow, I'd be just fine. Really? Well, that might not be something you want to remind him of every day. That could be hurting the relationship just a tad. You want to make sure that it's structured the way that God intends and showing him that respect and aligning to his leadership and his provision of the home and also accepting his decisions. It's like the little boy who was told to sit down and wouldn't and wouldn't and wouldn't. Finally did. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm not sitting down on the inside. And sometimes that's how it is in the eye of its home. The husband will make a decision and people will follow because they have to, but their spirit is making known to everybody around, I don't agree. I think this is a terrible decision. If I were in charge, if I were Absalom, this is what I would do. You say, Brother Rule, come on, I'm not an Absalom in my home. Really? Let me ask you a question. For the wives in this room with children in the home, if I asked your children what you thought about your husband, what would I learn? Women, if I asked your friends what they thought about your husband from your depiction of him, what would I learn? Would I learn that you are a respectful wife because that's your role? Or would I learn that you're married, but you really could have done better? What would I learn? Because I'm telling you, that has a lot to do with the quality of the marriage you have right now. Respecting him as a man, accepting the decisions that he makes, and following his leadership in your life. Letter B, reverencing him as a leader. Reverencing him as a leader. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:33, as we close, the wife see that she reverence her husband. This means to revere and respect his position of authority. And it can be done in several ways. And you've got these inner notes. Reassure your husband that you trust God to work in him and through him. Let him know that you respect his authority when it comes from God. Express words of trust to your husband. I know you're going to take care of us, or I know that God gave you to me. Encourage him to hold on to his God-given goals when things look rough, and seek spiritual counsel from your husband. Wives, can I ask you a question? When's the last time you asked your husband, honey, what do you think? I'm trying to make this decision. I'm not sure what way to go. What do you think I ought to do? We learned this last week in communication. You have so much power with your words. But there's a spirit inside that often dictates what comes out of our mouth. And there must be a spirit of, this is my role, and I'm going to submit to follow my husband. Let her see as we close. Submit to him as unto the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this is not calling for equal submission. God is not saying to all the wives in here, you need to be like Sarah of old and call your husband Lord. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying submit to Christ as you would submit to your husband equally. No, we're to submit to God above all else. This is what has the authority in our life. But wives are to submit to their husband as unto the Lord. When you submit to your husband, wife, it is an expression of your submission to God. Watch this as I close. It's the same principle we teach our kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. When you don't agree with mom and dad, and you don't understand what mom and dad are saying, obey in the Lord. Just trust this is God's structure and obey. The same principle we teach our boys and girls applies to our marriages. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. When you come to a moment or a day or a decision or a circumstance where you're thinking, what in the world? Remember, this submission and this following is as unto the Lord. And as you follow your husband as unto the Lord, God will bless you and God will bless your marriage. Now, husbands, we're going to learn next week how to lead and how to love. And every wife is going to make sure her husband's here next week for sure. But today, as we talk about follow the leader, and I just want the marriages in our class to be strong. And I want to challenge every lady, study in your heart the reluctance to submit. Is there something there that you need to do business with God? God, help me to have more faith in you and your way. And then study this route to submission and following. Is there something that could be done that would help you find your role in your marriage and fulfill it to the best of your ability? It's my prayer that His design has the kind of marriages that our children grow up and say, boy, if I could have a marriage like mom and dad, that would be awesome. And I'm telling you, what I'm teaching today, as unpopular as it may be, is a huge ingredient to marriages that last generations and that people look at and say, now that's what I want. And may His design have that kind of marriages and the kind of ladies that say, you know what? He's not perfect, but He's who God gave me. And He's the leader of our home. And this is His position given to Him by God. I recognize it, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to be a blessing. And I'm not going to try to always remind him of where he's not perfect, because quite frankly, none of us are. But I am going to try to encourage him as he leads spiritually. I think if you took that role of the encouraging follower, you'd be amazed at the leadership potential of your husband. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would take this principle. It's a little unfamiliar today, but it's so important. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from your word. Wow, the husband has authority. He's in responsibility. And the wife is to submit and follow. And may every husband in this room this morning desire to be a good, godly leader, leading according to biblical principle. And may every wife in this room desire to be an encouraging follower and to follow this route to submission and making some inward adjustments and decisions that would lead to outward unity in the home. Lord, I pray that these principles would greatly strengthen every marriage here today. Bless every family this week. Watch over them, I pray, and bring us back safely next Sunday. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.